Hey guys, welcome to another episode of This Too Much. I'm Hermeline, your host, your local hype woman, and future therapist. I know it's been a while since our last episode, and a lot has been going on in the world, even up until last night with that mess of a presidential debate. Earlier in the year, as COVID was starting to be taken seriously, Keisha and I got a chance to speak to Bea Jimenez, who is an urban planning professional and writer based here in Boston, Mass. We had an awesome conversation that never got posted, so we had to check in and see how things have been since. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all, virtual recording has been rough at first, so you may hear a difference in our first conversation versus the most recent one. Keisha was the one to actually catch up with Bea while my phone decided I didn't need to be part of the conversation. So I'm hoping you all are taking care of yourselves in the best way possible. And as always, don't forget to share, subscribe, comment, and all that good stuff. Bye.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Bea.
Hello.
How are you, girl?
So good. How are you guys doing?
Good. How is COVID-19 treating you?
Honestly, I have to say today was a great day. And I think it's just another reminder that we're just supposed to just take this one day at a time.
You know, I wish the rest of us could have that perspective on it, because I'm working on it. I'm like, okay, like it's a day where I'm still able to leave the house, but when is this shit gonna be over?
Heck, you're it.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I would say to stay put for at least the next year. We just have to start bracing ourselves for the fact that this is gonna last much longer than we realize. I know. It's challenging me too. Don't get me wrong. I sound super optimistic today, but that doesn't mean that that's been my flow this whole time.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to realize, oh yeah, this is going to be a lot longer than we expect. We have a really incompetent administration handling this. Oof. We have a state of emergency pretty much everywhere. And I don't think that we fully grasped the totality of this situation.
No, agreed, especially now where we're hearing what, like, California is basically shut down, New York shut down.
Yep. We're heading there, too. I think that Massachusetts just hasn't figured out how, but I'm pretty positive that we're going to be getting that notice very soon.
Jeez, be offense. I know.
And I've been talking to my family about this too. I mean, I'm Dominican and I feel like none of my family is taking this seriously at all.
Girl.
Like, dead ass.
Girl.
They get their news from Facebook.
Oh, don't they all?
Listen, the WhatsApp has been live for my mom. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just being Haitian, like the remedies I've been hearing. The precautions
not the remedies.
No,
I'm like, please, no. Enough with the tea. The tea is not going to stop anything. Yeah.
I literally had to go to Lawrence, where my mom lives. Mm-hmm. She lives alone, and literally beg her. This was last Sunday. Literally beg her not to go to church. Her church has over 200 members, and they hadn't canceled service. And I'm like, have you just not been paying attention? Like, this is just not the time to go and do that. And it was so hard for her to even understand, like, how far things had gone.
Right.
Because if you've just been watching the news, then you would just think, like, oh, this is nothing. This is another day. And it's just like the flu. And that's what they were saying, like, a few weeks ago. And now it's totally different. So I feel like that's why people have been in shock. Because we've just been told so many different things. And yeah, if you've only been following the news, then you would just feel like this is a total overreaction.
No, but it's very true.
Definitely not.
No, shit's about to hit the fan, and I think we're just not ready to, like, deal with it yet.
But either way, I think I'm really excited for your podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you.
Mediums like this are gonna be even more popular. So shout out to you for being ahead of the curve.
Oh, thanks, girl. I appreciate it. I do. I really do.
And man. I've been telling my friends, like, don't rush to be productive, but it definitely is the best time to have your creative content updated, to launch a website. You know, if whatever it is that you've been holding yourself on, I would say that this is the best time to get ahead and do it.
Yeah. No, I agree too. I think for a lot of people who kind of have been feeling that creative itch, I think it's a great time. But I think on the other side of it, like, someone was saying, like, oh, entrepreneur Twitter has been telling me, oh, I gotta go chase this dream, I gotta go do this, I gotta go do that right now because I have this downtime. And like, for some people, it's like, maybe I just need this moment to have some peace, to sit and still true. For a bit.
And I totally feel that too. I kind of fall on both sides of it. I think like the slowdown is something that we can all use a little bit of. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that. And I don't think that, you know, we should use productivity to hold us from just sitting still for a little bit. But I also feel like there's a little bit of both, like being able to be at home and have like more flexibility could also mean that some things that maybe were left on the back burner can now come to the front, you know, like, you know, that's kind of how I've been taking it.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I wish, because I've been one of the few people who actually still have to go to work. So I've been talking to my friends and like even Keisha, I'm like, so how's it working at home?
Michael, what's your day job?
So I work as a clinical residential manager. So I work with a pretty vulnerable population, like people who are older adults and with long-term mental illness living in a group home.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're one of the essential workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's totally different for you then.
I'm like, guys, I would love to be home. And everyone's like, no, you don't want to be home.
Listen, after a while, you're just kind of like, I miss society. Just a little bit. You almost just missed it, like, just a little bit. I think it's like, I don't know. For me, it's like, oh, I miss having a routine or having, like, structure. Because I literally just roll out of bed, you know. I mean, I try to have a routine in the morning and stuff to still have that structure. Yeah. But it's just like, then I'm just in front of my laptop for 8 hours, you know. It's like,
there's
no office feeling. There's no, you know, breaking and going to get lunch with your coworkers. Like, it's just you and the laptop. You know, so
that's true. The truth is like, I haven't had to do it yet, so I can have a totally different feeling next week,
right,
when I finally get home. But I agree. I think that it's just so interesting. Like, we hate going into the office, but as soon as we're told we can't, we're like, what?
Exactly. That's what it is. I'm like, oh, I don't have to go to the office for how long? That's great. And then the week ended, and I was like, oh my God, please send me back. So
I think
it's different when you're told you
but
can't.
I agree. I think what I'm gonna try to do is do like a daily walk.
Yes.
Like, now that it's like a lot nicer. So I'm gonna try my best to do that.
Yes.
I'm
also do it.
Realizing like some of my self-care practices relied on a couple of things that are out of my reach now. Mm. So for example, I like practice yoga, and I really miss the studio that I went to. Like, I was just starting to build like a good repertoire there. So I have to figure out like a way to still do practice without being in a studio with other people.
Yeah.
But I'm realizing like what I liked about it was that I was with other people. So that's one thing that I'm kind of trying to figure out. And then I also hate like, I've always hated Zoom, and now
girl, everything
like everybody's communicating, and I'm just like, oh God!
I didn't even know Zoom existed until last week. I'm like, what is this Zoom you people are talking about? And then I used it to do like a virtual class, and I was like,
through the roof.
Facts. Everyone else is plummeting in the stocks, but Zoom is probably up right now.
Zoom is like, oh God.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so real.
Oh my goodness. So, Bea, I know you got a new job recently, and I know you do a lot of like housing and like equity work. So, I kind of want to talk about what were you doing previously, and what are you going to be doing now?
Yes. Okay. Great question. So, I've been working in housing and community development for maybe about 6 years. I'm from Lawrence, so it first started as a community organizer in Lawrence, and I helped run the current mayor's campaign while I was there. Then I moved to Boston for grad school. That was in 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. And I worked for a housing policy agency, basically just doing work at the state level, trying to get funding for affordable housing. But it was so different from the organizing work that I had been doing. I felt really disconnected from people because I was mostly doing behind the scenes research and things like that. Again, both experiences just totally polar opposites. Yeah. That I then decided to take another opportunity. And I, up until last week, I was working as a community engagement manager at Madison Park Development, which is right in Roxbury. And the work that I did there for the past year was around voter issues, trying to educate Roxbury residents on local and state and federal elections, trying to get people registered to vote, trying to get people out to the polls, hosting candidate forums, hosting live sessions with candidates around issues of the neighborhood, and also inviting people to learn about the neighborhood planning. As you know, I'm sure this isn't new, but Roxbury's in a neighborhood that has seen a lot of gentrification, a lot of displacement, and just dealing with a ton of changes in a very short amount of time. So along with the voter information work that we were doing, we were also trying to help people understand how housing development happens in their neighborhood so that they have a voice to then come out and speak to in public meetings or even just be informed of what was happening. So that was the work that I've been doing for the past year. But a great opportunity opened up, and I'm actually going to be starting at the Greater Boston Chamber of Commerce. It's a job that will be focusing on economic opportunity for small businesses.
Okay. Ooh, nice to hear.
Yes, congrats.
Nice to hear.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited, even though there's so many unknowns, obviously related to this crisis. Mm-hmm. So it'll be the first time that I'll be starting a new job where I'll actually be remote. So I think it'll just be interesting to see what my day-to-day will look like now that we know that there's so many small businesses that are just struggling even just to stay open. Mm-hmm. But the gist of the job in the way that it was sold to me was that I would be working with small businesses and larger companies and helping them with their supplier diversity efforts. And that essentially means that, let's say Keisha has a network and she's been running for 25 years. She has maybe several businesses open already. She's successful, blah, blah, blah. But maybe Keisha's been doing the same work with the same people for those past 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that the chamber wants to do is connect those long established businesses with younger and minority owned businesses who are maybe just starting out and helping them connect in a way where they are sharing contracts and also scaling some of their work to those minority businesses.
Whoa.
So yeah, so really, really exciting. I think it'll be a great opportunity. And the woman who had the role previously is Sheena Collier. So I'll be taking over what Sheena basically started. And she's another young Black woman who, again, kind of just came in, broke through the doors,
yeah,
and began just kind of pushing through. And this new department is really a testament of her effort to speak out more on equity in Boston and the need for it. So I'm just really excited to just be able to work in a space that I know there was a vision laid out already, and I'm definitely just, I have my own ideas, and yeah, we'll see what happens next.
That is so freaking awesome. And honestly, I can't wait to see like what you bring to it. Cause even hearing that, I don't know, it just reminds me that there are so many resources, but access is something that we struggle with as people of color, and just being afforded those opportunities to have access to such things. Cause like, I can just see how being able to bridge that gap between a larger company and like, say, a small mom and pop shop that's been open for over 20 years and could use that extra boost without even knowing it.
Agreed. Agreed. Absolutely. I think one of the things that we've come to learn is that old dynamics don't just die, right? Like, okay, it's 2020. Oh my God, Boston is just this thriving city and everybody is moving forward. That's not the case for everybody. Like, we know that, right?
Yeah.
And the status quo is something that we constantly have to challenge. And I think the chamber is learning one way to do it, which is encouraging businesses that already have the revenue, already have the capacity to think a little bit different. They choose to give these large contracts to who they're choosing for their entry-level employees. Like, just all around, it can, equity can go far on multiple levels. Like, it's not just about hiring. It's also like, who are we doing business with? Where are we putting our money into? So I think those are all things that, and all questions that we should be asking all the time.
No, definitely true. Because again, if we don't ask these questions, I feel like things are going to continue being swept under the rug. And it's just going to be like, well, no one asked about it. So we were just going to continue doing the same old shit, to be honest.
Right. And this is just business as usual. Like, well, we've been doing this for this long and we know these people and blah, blah, blah. Like, all of those things actually close the door on not only new businesses, but also new opportunities. And let's be honest, creativity too. Because if you're just been doing the same thing for 20 years, then I can imagine you haven't really thought outside the box either.
No, of course not. Definitely not. Wow. So you're about to bring something fresh to it.
I hope so. Definitely pray for me. I've definitely been a little nervous because, again, it's all of these things are just so beyond our control.
Right.
That's why I've been saying, like, okay, every single day is just going to pose its own set of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be about how flexible and nimble I can be to deal with whatever comes up.
Yeah. What are some things you think that might be like this too much when it comes to this new role, but also thinking about kind of like your previous roles and how that may be helpful in this new journey you're taking?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because I mentioned Sheena because me and her actually have very similar backgrounds. Sheena has definitely been doing this for longer than I have. But interestingly enough, before she went to the chamber, she had also been working in Roxbury.
Mm.
So I think that this new opportunity will be another testament of how do we bring voices that haven't really been represented to this space that is very corporate and very business oriented. So I think that's one of the things that I think about is like, how do I bring these people whose lives and lived experiences are never thought about? How can I be in some ways like a messenger and ambassador to my community?
That's a good point. Damn. Yeah, I think it's interesting that you're saying that, like, how you can be the person to do these things. But I think just already being in this position and getting this job, you've already started to bridge the gap, you know, because you're already thinking ahead and wondering like, how can I do this? How can I, you know, bring these people's stories to places that, you know, that where they can get heard. So to just already be in that position, I think is pretty awesome. That you can already start to, you know, bridge the gap. You can be that middle person, the messenger, like you said.
Yes, yes. And hopefully also bringing others along. Because let's be honest, like, there are perspectives that I'm blind to. So I think that's one of it. And I think Sheena kind of showed me that. Like, just the fact that she was in that space, she was able to make the door a little bit wider so that she can bring another person along with maybe a similar perspective and similar background.
That ecosystem.
And I feel, yeah, I was literally just about to say that, literally that ecosystem, in terms of like, we can't do any of this on our own. And if we're able to share those resources and share that wisdom, then who can stop us?
Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. That's why they're so scared of us. Because the truth is, they know when we come into those spaces, we're not going to come by ourselves. And we're not going to come quiet.
I'm bringing the whole fam.
The whole gang.
No, definitely true. And I mean, it is what it is. They can continue to be scared because at the end of the day, there's work to be done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's kind of like we have this social responsibility to do it if we can and if it's within our power.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. And I will say everyone has that power.
Mm.
It doesn't matter where you are at. You don't have to feel like you need to be a senior level executive to do what you can from where you're at. And I say that from someone who was a community organizer, literally making like $28,000 a year, to now feeling a little bit better of where I'm at.
Right. Yeah.
I still feel like I'm only starting, but I'm saying like, I try to tell young people that all the time. Like, and I think we see it. What's the woman, the German activist who's, you know,
Greta Thunberg.
Yes. And also all of the students who after the shooting in Florida stood up and went to Congress. Like, I feel like every single one of us has power wherever we are at. And it's just a matter of, are we harnessing mm-hmm. it? Are we using it? And are we speaking up when necessary?
Mm, agreed. And even you saying that, I feel like that's something you definitely exude, because like, I remember when I first started following you on Instagram, I was like, yo, her pictures scream confidence, and I love that. So it's like, I don't know, how do we get people to feel that same confidence, like when they walk anywhere?
Well, yo, that you should see my face, because I'm literally laughing. I love that that's what you felt, but I definitely don't always feel that way. But I also think this is going to sound corny, but it definitely is with age.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
I feel like when I hit 30, it's so true what they say. Like, your 20s are kind of basically you trying to just figure shit out and just trying to go through the motions and failing up. And I feel like for me anyways, when I hit 30, I feel like I cemented myself. And when I talk to my mentor, who is in her 40s, she says, like, that's the ascension. Like, as women, we take in all of our lessons. We take in all of our experiences. And we literally age like fine wine. And so I just feel like when I was even just 25, I think I was starting to step into who I was. But it wasn't until like 30 that I was like, yo, not only am I gonna do what I wanna do, but I'm also like so much less afraid than I was before. But I think, again, it just kind of comes from like years of realizing that I was the only one holding myself back.
Okay, so basically in 2 years, we're about to stop giving a damn about everything, and it's gonna be lit.
Yes,
thank goodness.
But I will say, like, yo, the sooner you start, the better. Because, like, honestly, if this crisis that we're going through right now teaches us anything, is that a lot of the shit that we worry about doesn't matter, like, at all.
Say it,
like,
girl,
there's
say
so
it.
Many things that we do that are so frivolous and time consuming, and a lot of it is like for the benefit of other people, and when it comes down to it, like, is it adding to your life? If it's not, then, yo, that shit doesn't matter.
Bad. Something to look forward to.
Literally something to look forward to. And again, I think a lot of times it's so damn hard.
Like, the journey never ends. Like, you know, it's not like, oh, you're going to turn 30 and the tooth fairy is going to appear and you're good. And
like, she's going to sprinkle like, all this goodness.
I just do feel much more cemented and grounded in who I am as a woman. But it's a constant everyday journey of figuring out what works for me, what am I discarding, what am I holding on to that isn't serving me, period. And asking yourself that question like almost daily. And every time you ask yourself, it's going to come up with a whole different answer. So I just feel like the more you do it and the sooner you start, the better. Because then you can actually live your life and feel good and not be so bogged down by all of these perceptions from outside sources. Instead, you're just more in tune with yourself, period.
And that's how it should be.
Keisha, we got work to do.
That's exactly how it should be. I'll get there. I will get there.
Yeah. I will. I damn will.
We all will. And also having self-compassion. Like, I think that there are lessons that came to me in multiple ways and I had the same response to them. And, like, you almost keep reliving the same lessons until you learn the lesson that you were supposed to learn. But, so I think also it comes with having more self-compassion for yourself. Like, when I do make a mistake or when I feel like I fell short on something, I'm not as harsh as I used to be with myself. Like, I feel like I would definitely would allow myself to just sit in my feelings when I did something wrong. And now I'm kind of allowing myself more of a space to say, you know what? You know, that didn't go as expected, or I wish I hadn't had the reaction that I had, or I wish I could have done this if I knew now what I know. But you still have to have a little bit of self-compassion with yourself when you're learning what works for you and just being a little bit kinder to yourself. I think that has been totally new for me.
Ooh, girl, you... So in learning this about yourself and learning how to have more compassion, like, how have you been kind of reversing that tape that didn't allow you to have that compassion for yourself?
I think for me, my journey has definitely been a lot around, let me see, what are some of the practices I've used? Okay, in the last few years, meditation has been one way. Kind of like at the beginning of the conversation, you know how we were saying how so many of us use productivity as a way to like not slow down. I was notoriously one of those people. Like, I always had more than two jobs. I was like going to school full time, working full time, taking care of my mom, like just doing the absolute most, right? And that's okay. Like, I'm glad I went through all those experiences, but now I feel like my time is gold. Like, I don't give my time to just anything. So that's one thing. And I think it was through meditation and even yoga, just being able to slow down to figure out why you are doing what you are doing, as opposed to just constantly going and going. That was one of the ways that I feel like I had to tap into myself. But it didn't happen until I totally burned myself out.
Ooh. It always seems like it works that way, right? You have to literally get to, like,
you have to burn yourself into the ground.
Yeah.
Like, you might be 27, 28. You don't have to wait till you're 30 to figure that out. You should start asking some of those questions now. Like, what are the things that I have on my plate that literally don't make me happy? And start trying to find a way to chip at them as much as possible so that you can focus more of your time and energy on the things that do make you happy. And then the other like kind of battle that I had to go through internally was also accepting the fact that I did deserve to be happy, because that's another thing. I feel like when you live in a way that is constantly on survival And when we come from the communities that we come from, where we see our parents mm-hmm. working just for us and not having any type of social setting to replace it with, like, literally my mom, all she did was work. She's still doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm still trying to convince her to retire. But I think I literally had to learn that I also did deserve to be happy. Like, I didn't have to just constantly be on survival mode.
I just have to take a deep breath. Because
no, it's true though.
Yeah,
it's very literally true. Especially it's so like, true. Coming from, like you said, like coming from immigrant backgrounds or parents who are immigrants, all they do is work, and they don't like social life. Like, what is that, you know? To them, seeing us, you know, go out for fun or like just go to a restaurant to eat, they're just like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you working? Mm-hmm. Why are you having so much fun? Mm-hmm. It was a different time. So I think we need to working on being able to separate that and understand that like our parents had a lot of reasons for doing what they did, but it doesn't mean we have to model ourselves the same exact way. You know, it's okay to have a little fun, you know?
That is 100% correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the books that I read most recently that kind of encompasses all of this is called Pleasure Activism. And it's by Adrienne Marie Brown, who is just like this incredible Black queer woman. And she kind of analyzes the way that we mm-hmm. live. And she basically says, we shouldn't be doing anything if it doesn't bring us pleasure.
Period. I like that.
Like, that comes with like friendships that like hold right. you back, jobs that drain you, that goes with habits that we form from our childhood,
like drag me.
Yo, read it, it's so good. It's such a good book. It's literally like my Bible now.
I like that though. That's a great way to think, mm-hmm. because yeah, when you start realizing that you don't have to do things literally because you don't have to, it's like the most freeing feeling in the world. You're just like, if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. And just being able to accept that it's great.
Agreed. Absolutely. And the sooner that you do, the more that you can start working on exactly. learning it. Because it's not easy. No. It's not like you're going to be like, oh, okay, I figured it out. I read this book. I meditated for 10 minutes. Let's go. I got this. No, absolutely. Of course. Not. It like takes so much work to undo years and years of conditioning that tells you.
Absolutely.
That. Even now, I sometimes find myself struggling with that, because obviously you want to be able to just do your work. Like for some people, doing a 9-to-5, that's it. Like, I go and I do my work, I'm out, and that's going to be my life. But I think for others who want to be able to explore their creative side, or maybe they have something creative that they've been sitting on, but they've been conditioned to just do their 9-to-5 for the rest of their life, then they can do those creative things. There's that struggle in trying to maybe find the balance in those two things. Or just really struggling with themselves, like, okay, do I follow what I've been told all my life? Or do I decide to throw it out the window and do the thing that does actually make me happy without that security?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of questions that we have to ask ourselves. I think there are things that my mother taught me, and it was mostly because she was trying to protect me. But they were things that were harmful to me now. Mm. And, you know, it's a lot of those same thinking about, like, you do things not because you want to, but you do it out of necessity. Mm-hmm. And I think for us who are, again, part of a new generation, we have a new way of thinking. We're kind of like, well, okay, how do I figure out job security while still doing what I love? And I don't necessarily think that our parents were like afraid to ask those questions. I just think that they just maybe literally didn't have the time.
Yeah.
Or couldn't even afford to stop and think about it because they were just trying to survive. Right. So now, in some ways, this is the fruit of their own labor that maybe we get to work a little bit in a different way And that's going to produce like a whole set of new results. So I'm still working really hard, but I'm doing it in a way that brings me more joy than before. And I think that for our parents, like that, like my mom asked me that question all the time. Like, why do you feel like you have to love your job? I'm like, Mom, because I spent a lot of my time there. Why?
Okay.
Why you spend so much time there.
And to her, it's just like such a new concept. Because she literally just had to take whatever job was available because it was either that or we literally weren't going to be able to pay.
Exactly.
Rent.
It's just like it's survival. Oh. It's like what pays the bills. I don't care if it makes me happy or not. It's like, you know, what will get us fed or, you know, keep a roof over our heads, that kind of a thing. But it also,
we had to have a really deep conversation a few years ago where I literally said exactly what I'm sharing with you. And it was literally like, because of your hard work, I am now afforded this.
Exactly. It wasn't for anything. Yeah.
And when I framed it like that to her, then it like seemed less frivolous.
Yeah, no, I think sometimes they really just need to hear that. And I think for us too, it's also knowing that because I love my job, it doesn't mean that's where I find all my fulfillment in life. Right. But that is also what allows me to find fulfillment in my things outside of work, because I'm in a workplace that is conducive and healthy and doesn't drain the hell out of me. I'm able to enjoy the things I like to do outside of work as well.
And I love that you say that, because I also notice that oftentimes we have these conversations and people will knock down the people who have chosen to keep a 9-to-5 professional life. And it's like, well, my 9-to-5 is the fuel for my 5-to-9, you know, like my side hustle, whatever side project I want to do, I'm able to do it from the comfort of my own pace because I have this job security. Yep. And that's awesome. Like, I feel like, I don't know why people often try to have the either or conversation. Like, no, that's great that you're able to have your job and then the flexibility and energy to still do what you love, maybe on the side or maybe like not full time, but you're still enjoying it and finding a way to make it viable.
Facts. And the thing is, even you just saying that, I don't know about some people, but I know for me, like anytime I think about having like my own business, the first thing that pops into my head is like, yo, do I really want to be paying my health insurance like full price? Because the way health insurance is set up in the United States, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and there's just so many factors to that. Like, not every business can be full-time either.
Nope.
You know, like, I just feel like that hits a nerve for me. Because I've seen mad people doing that. Like, oh my God, I'm just so happy. I'm an entrepreneur and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, that's great. Like, good for you.
Right.
It's like, right.
Have fun.
And again, no judgment. But then, like, if I can't have a judgment on you and your choices, then you shouldn't have a judgment on me and mine.
Exactly. It's not the life for everybody. Like, the same way a 9-to-5 isn't the life for everyone. It's the same way entrepreneurship isn't the life for everyone. Some people are good with that 9-to-5 structure and come on the weekends and do whatever the heck you want, versus some people who are like, no, I want to be my own boss or I want to work for myself. And that's fantastic. Right. I think the judgment should not be passed on either of those things.
Exactly. Agreed.
Is on period. So, Bae, I forgot to ask you. I know you had done an article recently talking to Shalene Title and like her work as a woman in cannabis, and I want to talk to you about some of the work you do as someone who's, would you call yourself a cannabis activist?
Is that hell yeah?
Love the enthusiasm. Yes.
Tell us all.
I've been trying to break into that space since it became an option, but I'm still pretty new into it. Actually, a lot of the work that I've been doing is literally out of luck, I have to say. Like, I will be that person who will do a cold email saying, can I meet you? Like, I want to just talk to you. And that's literally what happened with Shalene Title.
Girl, tell us, tell us all.
Basically, I started, so first of all, I started working with this app called Canopy. And they basically want to be like the Yelp for cannabis businesses. They are trying to help consumers who are looking to be in the cannabis space to learn about products that are coming on and learn about local shops as they're coming open.
Ooh.
So Canopy is kind of like this directory of cannabis businesses in Mass, but they also want to be national. So so I worked with the founder and he hired me to do two pieces around cannabis products that were coming up, and he kind of gave me a lot of leeway, and I told him that the only way that I would take the project was if I was able to focus on minority owners. So he was,
oh, wow.
I know, it's so funny because I'd be like just saying my shit and then I just get mad happy when they accept my terms and I'm like, okay.
As you should.
So that's basically what happened.
As you should.
I was
should.
Pretty much ready to take the contract no matter what, but I just threw that in there and I'm just happy that he was all on board with it too. So one of the things that we did, the first thing that we did was we did an article with Dope Dinners Boston. They're this micro business that does private parties with cannabis infused food.
Oh wow.
And
right. Oh God, I'm like, oh, let me take notes.
Incredibly dope. Dope Dinners Boston. Yeah. They're incredible. And they're actually a couple who the wife was a public relations agent and the husband is a Caribbean chef. And together they've just been able to explode on this end. Like they have just a great following of people and they do private parties that usually like $100 to $150 per person. Mm-hmm. But it'll be like a 5-course meal. All around cannabis infused food.
Wow.
And the food is bomb. Like they're so good. Anyways, so I did an interview with them and that was super dope. The other interview that we did was with another couple who launched their own lubricant.
Okay.
Yeah, and wow. It's like a cannabis infused lubricant. Oh, wow. Called Purian, and so we interviewed them and they're called Bedroom Cannabis. That's the name of their business. Yeah, and so that was just super super fun. So as I started to kind of go into this new avenue, I was like, how do I highlight people who are kind of behind the scenes, but who are literally working on cannabis equity every single day? And no one's paying attention or whatever, but I was just super interested in it. And then I decided that I also wanted to do it with just women. So I was like, okay, I want to do this. I need to figure out a person that can help me. And the first person I thought of was Shalene. So I emailed her, super, super random, like, hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Hey.
And she, like, yo, she responded in, like, an hour. And I had actually asked her if I could just send her the questions for the interview. And she said, no, you should come to my office.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Bag so like, secure.
Okay, love it.
I know. So she was super, super kind. And she's exactly the type of person that I'm just happy to see in that type of position, because she was so open and honest about how slow some of the equity work was moving, but also that like this is surprising, the fact that Massachusetts is actually still one of the states with the highest like social equity components in the law.
Oh, okay.
Why is that?
So yeah, I know. So I was just like, okay, that's interesting, because I have felt like we weren't doing shit.
Right.
But hearing from her was really sobering, but she's like a really incredible person. And we saw this month that Pure Oasis, the first pot shop with minority owners, opened and grew.
Made me so happy. So happy to see that.
Yeah, I read that. I was like, that's, listen.
Yeah. And we have to support them. Like, I've been telling my friends, I'm like, listen, we have to tell the weed man that we got a new one. And, like, you know. And actually, I'm super proud because my weed man isn't actually a man. It's a black man.
Oh. And that's how you do it.
Yeah. But anyway, so I say that to say, like, I sometimes just follow my own leads. I got really happy because, and this is, again, the universe, like, kind of sets things up. So first I take this contract with this Canopy app, and then I got the space to just do the fun stuff that I really wanted to do, which was the Women in Cannabis series.
Mm-hmm. Damn. That is so dope, because I feel like even without you saying it, but you are kind of, and I know people are probably tired of hearing this word, but you are manifesting the things that you want to be doing.
Man, I am trying, girl. I am trying, trying, trying. But yes, that's absolutely true. And this is, again, what I was saying. Like, if it's not fun, like, I literally am not going to do it.
Amen.
I'll give you an example. I took a contract last year with a company that is actually pretty well known. And they approached me because they had found some of my writing interesting, mm-hmm. and they just basically sold me the world. And I got really wrapped up in what they said. I signed the contract, and I was supposed to do 4 writing pieces for them. Come to find out that the CEO was actually using a lot of my work as a ghostwriter. Oh. So when they did publish the articles, but this was all part of the contract. I didn't actually read the terms. Sorry, Megan. Right?
I was literally just thinking that too.
Yeah. And come to find out, I didn't get credit for any of the work that I did. I did get paid, right? But they didn't give me any credit for the work. And that was part of the contract, was that I was giving them, I forgot exactly what the term is called, but it's like it's not your talent. But I was giving
intellectual
them
property.
There, yes, we go. Yep. There we go. I signed off my intellectual property to them. Yeah.
Wow.
So thankfully, I was able to get out
of
the contract.
That's so shady.
And it was a good lesson for me because I was like, it took me forever to finish that project just because I couldn't find the will power to do it. So that taught me a valuable lesson, which is like, yo, my work is valuable, my ideas are valuable, and I shouldn't just sign it off for the first check that comes. So that was kind of like where the intentionality started to come from. So I ended up doing this exercise on my own. Like, I do a lot of journaling. And one of the exercises was like, okay, I love writing, but what do I want to focus my time on? Because I can't also take on any project that just comes up.
Right.
So I decided that the 3 things I really wanted to focus on was definitely equity and housing and something about the arts. Like, I've always loved art. I always loved, like, thinking about people and creatives and so on. So I was like, okay, it has to at least fall in these 3 buckets. Otherwise, I will have to say no. And once I started to kind of, like, tailor it down and be more specific with what I actually wanted to do, I found projects that aligned with that vision and were still lucrative. So, like I said, I got out of a contract. I finished the project and I got my money and I was like, I'm never working with y'all again. And then
was shady.
Yeah, and it's crazy because they weren't like fully transparent, but I also didn't even know what type of questions to ask.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just one of those things, like, I'm actually glad for that experience because now I'm much more careful about what I sign on to. So anyways, when this opportunity came to work with this cannabis app, like I said, he gave me his terms, but I didn't absolutely agree to them right away.
Right.
I went back to him with my own suggestions and then even asked for the things that I wanted to do. So that was like the first time me doing that. And he could have easily been like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to find somebody else. And he was totally in his right to do it if he decided to do that. But it did work out in my favor. And then it kind of gave me the opportunity to look at, to look into things that I wasn't even thinking about. I wasn't even thinking about cannabis. You know, so now it was like, oh, this is a really interesting world. And there's a lot of people working in this space. And what about the Black and brown people who are doing a lot of great work behind the scenes? Like, how can I get to them and talk about them?
Like, I'm speechless. I'm literally speechless. Yeah. And that, even you doing that work is so amazing, because we know about the war on drugs. Mm-hmm. Like, we know how many Black and brown people are incarcerated for the same thing that is now legal, right, and making people stupid money.
Right, right. And I just think it's just unfair. That's always been my thing around equity. It's like, it's just not fair. Like, at the end of the day, it boils down to having access, mm-hmm, and we deserve to be in those spaces. And I will find a way. Like, I will be that person who, like, pops up and is like, why is this room so white?
A, right. And how the hell do we change it?
Exactly. Uh-huh. How do
we tired of it.
Yeah.
And I think, so, even you being in these spaces, you're doing so.
It's true. I agree. I have found in the last, like, 1 or 2 years, I would say that I've also started to feel like that's not enough. Like, I'm glad I get to be in that space. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that I was able to walk into that door. But it's not enough if I'm the only one.
Exactly. That's I think that's always been a big thing for me. It's like, why aren't other people who look like me in this room, you know, when they should, mm-hmm, be? Mm-hmm. You know, there's why is it always I have to be the minority in this room when there should be so much space for everyone to be able to join? We only see one type of face most of the time, though, and that definitely needs something. That's something that really, really needs to change.
Absolutely. And guess what? That feeds your ego. And I'd never want to be in that space. Right. It feeds your ego to feel like, oh, shit. Like, I'm the only one? Damn. I must have been more, like, better than the other people.
Right.
Or, damn, how do I hold this space just for me since I have this access?
Right.
And unfortunately, we see that play out all the time. You know, we see it kind of play out with women a little bit more. That's like the classic example, mm-hmm, of, yeah, like the women against working against each other in at work, for example, like trying to beat each other out for promotions, or when a woman gets into a senior position, not helping other women. You know, right, what I'm saying? I think we kind of hear that. I don't think those are the only examples. I'm just saying that's one of the ones that I see come up all the time. So I think I try to also be cognizant of that, and it, whenever I can, like, finding a way to bring other people. One thing that I've done is that, like I said, I started to envision what are the things that I did want to focus on. So when I get an opportunity that doesn't align, I've actually started to not only decline it, but then to offer other people who might work.
Which is fantastic.
So, yeah. So maybe it's like, maybe I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much for this opportunity. Although, you know, I'm not able to take it at this time. Here are some people that I think would be great.
Exactly.
For it.
It's like, if you can bring everybody else on board, why not? You know, people you know who are qualified and would do a great job. It's like, why wouldn't I want to do that? Why wouldn't I want to pass this on to my friend, my colleague, someone I know is looking for an opportunity versus trying to hoard it all for myself? You know, I'm like, if I'm eating, we're all eating. You know,
everybody eats.
Yes, exactly. That has been my biggest joy. Like, I love that. I love being able to connect people. I love being able to see, like, other people growing. Like, that, I genuinely feel so good when I see my friends winning. I feel so good.
I, too, feel bad happiness, too. I really do.
It makes and, three of us.
Yeah. Actually, like, yes. That actually made me, my eyes water, like, thinking about it, because I do know a lot of my friends who are creatives and are part of this gig economy aren't doing so well right now, but I know for a fact that they're going to be okay.
I think so, too. I think once this thing has a rain on it, just things will get better, but it's definitely hard to even see when that may look real, because again, we see how like the media has brought so much panic, and like even social media, like when you just want to see something nice on your feed, like you're hearing something about corona
breaking. I'm like, okay, got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, when Trump became president, I turned off all the news alerts on my phone. So I was somebody who was subscribed to like New York Times, the Washington Post, like at least like multiple outlets. And I literally turned all that stuff off. I checked the news on my time because I noticed that my anxiety was through the roof. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In those beginning months, like just reading constantly, like what was happening, all the things that were being overturned, and like, and I'm now figuring that out with the coronavirus. Like, okay, how do I get the information that I need for myself and my family while not overwhelming myself?
No, that's a good point, because I feel like even with corona, it's like every time you, it doesn't even matter what you try to look at. It could be social media, it could just be the news, it could just be, you know, just talking to people. It's at the forefront of everything. You almost can't even escape it. So it's like, you know what? Maybe I have to delete these apps. Maybe I gotta turn on Netflix instead, or you know, just.
I literally was gonna say that. Yeah, when was it? I think it was like Tuesday or Wednesday. Whenever day they decided to shut down schools, I was already not having the best day, and I feel like I read that, and I just, it like tipped me over. You know when you just have one of those days when it
was all you need is one more thing.
It's like when you get home and like you try to open the door and the keys fall on the ground. You're like, never mind.
It's done.
Yeah. And I literally slammed my laptop. I kid you guys not. My boyfriend thought I was like being mad psychotic. I like slammed my laptop and I opened the bottle of wine, and then I took it a step further and I just deleted like all of the apps on my phone that day. And I obviously redownloaded it like, the next day. But
you needed that moment. It's okay. It was too much.
I know. So ridiculous. But I was just like, yo, nah, like, I can't. My therapist talks about this all the time. She says that you should check your mood before and after social media.
Oh.
So I don't know about you ladies, but this has happened to me. I'll be in a great mood. I'll be chilling, whatever. I open my phone, I open Instagram, and maybe somebody pops up that I didn't want to see, or they're doing something, or it's FOMO, or it's whatever, and my mood will change.
Oh, been there.
So she started to tell me, like, you should actually tap into that. Like, when that happens, you need to ask yourself why. And maybe it's unfollowing somebody or muting them, or even just taking the app off your phone for a few days, because you're allowing that app to connect with your feelings, and that's not healthy.
No, that's a good point. I mean, it's so, I think social media, we get so wrapped up in it, we almost kind of forget what it does to us when we don't unplug or disconnect, you know, because like it's like we feel like constantly have to be on, seeing what people are doing, seeing what people are saying. And it's just like sometimes that can actually do more harm than you needing to stay informed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I've started to recognize that. So sometimes I actually haven't done this in a while. It might be time to do it, but I'll do like a couple of weeks off social media. So maybe it's like 2 weeks, or if not, I'll delete one and keep the other. Like, I love Twitter. Like, Twitter makes me laugh.
Girl, such a great time. Okay.
The way Black Twitter I don't know.
What do you guys think? Which one is more triggering, Twitter or Instagram? Because I think for me, Instagram is way more triggering.
More triggering. I think Twitter is where definitely. I go when I need a good laugh. Like, I'm just like, okay.
Because people have no filter. And no, it's filter. Like, yo, if our jobs found our Twitters, like, it would be over. But I love that. I love that people just literally have no chill on Twitter. And it's great because it really allows people to be themselves, where for the most part, when you go on Instagram, majority of people are just trying to make everything look nice.
It's curated. Like, I mean, we all do it, right? Like, it's very curated, whereas Twitter, it's a free-for-all. You say what you want, when you want, and how you want.
Yeah. So I go back and forth about that, but I notice for sure the mood changes, and as soon as I do, then I'm like, okay, time to get off.
And that's part of the self-care. I think a lot of people sometimes feel like they can't do that because of FOMO or because of some other reason that makes them feel tethered to it, but I think there is something powerful about being able to just disconnect for the sake of your sanity, your own mental health, and just deciding to be a little bit more present. Like earlier today, I went on a walk with some friends because we wanted some fresh air, especially now that like our church is doing service online. And that's where we get like a lot of our quality time, like when we all like link up at church and like we're all hanging out together for the whole day. So then to not have that, we decided to just go take a walk, and we were barely on our phones. We were having great conversation. It's sunny out, even though it was chilly, and we just really needed that moment to connect. And it was like, this was great, and everyone was so present.
Yes. And isn't that ironic, right? That right now, with all of this social distancing that we're all supposed to be practicing, all of a sudden we want to go out and see our people. Just a few, like, they've been chastising us for being the generation that is glued to our phones, right, that only connects on social media. And now all of a sudden we have to practice social distancing. And we're like, what? Like, what do you mean? And we're like all just dying to connect with people once again in person. But I think that's beautiful. I think whatever moments you can where you're present, I think we have to prioritize that. And we often take that for granted. Mm-hmm. One thing that my boyfriend and I try to do is no phones during dinner.
I love it.
So we might like cook together, or let's be honest, he's cooking, I'm probably watching.
A queen.
Yeah. I don't like cooking that much, he'll cook. I'll be, you know, chilling, and then when dinner's ready and we're sitting together, we won't bring our phones with us.
I love it.
And it might just be like 20 minutes, but it's enough.
You just connect. That's it.
Really,
you
know? I really do love it.
Mm-hmm. And I'll try to do that with my friends too. It gets harder because I am, like, you know, for a long time I was blogging a lot, and I was even blogging like the travels that I was doing. And I did start to notice like, shit, maybe I'm doing this a little bit too well, because I was finding myself like looking back at my pictures to remember the moment. And that's when you know you've gone too far. Like, if the picture tells a better story than what you actually had in person, that's not the goal.
That's a great way to think about it.
And again, I don't pass judgment on anyone because people take things differently. But I've noticed when I travel and I'm not trying to document every single moment, it feels so much better.
Right, yeah. Because you're able to actually just enjoy it.
Yeah. And when all of this is over soon, I hope, and I get to go somewhere again, I'm going to really try to practice that.
Ah, I love it. I really do. I'm also dying at the fact that we've been talking for the past hour and half of the questions I wanted to ask you we didn't even go through, but this was such a great conversation that, like, I'm like, it's all right. We're just going to have to talk again because this was amazing. But I know, like, one thing that we definitely wanted to talk to, and I know that your best friend wasn't able to join us, is talking about women friendships, because I think as we get older, it is something that's so important in terms of keeping those friendships, and just how do friendships between women stand the test of time, So I don't know. I think you're just gonna have to come back, girl.
Love it. Well, one quick thought that I will say is a lot of this self-care wouldn't be possible without the people in my life who also love and care about me. So I noticed, like, yes, self-care has to start with you, and definitely the self-love and self-discovery, all of that starts with just you, but it only gets stronger if you have people around you who also mimic a lot of those values.
Absolutely.
So for me, that became much more obvious once I realized, like, who was actually around me that did, you know, that felt in that same way.
No, I mean, that's true.
Cause you think about, like, people who enable bad behavior. Okay. But can your friends also enable good behavior?
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. That goes both ways. They can be enabling the bad or keeping you stuck in the same cycle, or they can be helping you leveling up.
Okay. And, like, if you're not helping me level up, why are we here?
Why are we friends?
Yeah. And I feel like the older I got and the more in tune with myself I got, the less patience I had with people who didn't. Like, I was like, nope.
Yeah, because, I mean, it sucks the life out of you. It's just, it's much more draining to try to maintain friendships like that than try to maintain the ones that actually, like, you know, bring you joy and happiness and all that other good stuff. And who wants to do that all the time?
Nope. I want the fun. Yeah, and I want the happiness.
I just feel like there's just been, like, so much of that going around where people are like, yo, are you adding to my life or not? And that goes for everything. I think people tend to ask those questions in relationships. But for me, I say this all the time. My friendships weigh way heavier than my relationship. And I tell that to my partner too. I'm like, those women, they have seen me go through it.
You can say that again.
And it would be a really big red flag if they don't fuck.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, there's something wrong with you, not them. You know, like, it's just,
exactly.
There's just no way we're gonna be able to work that out. Because
my friends are fam, and if my girls don't say it's a dub, then it's a dub.
Basically, yeah.
So I have just felt really good knowing that I have women around me who, like, not only represent a lot of those values that I've craved in myself, but they've actually been able to help me when I didn't see the best in me. Like, they would be the ones to point out, actually, you're doing okay, or, like, stop being so hard on yourself, or look at all the things that you've gone through. You know, sometimes you need people like that around you to remind you of how far you've came.
Hey, y'all.
How's it going?
Girl, we're just talking about how tired we are. How are you?
I know. I'm good, actually. I had a little bit of time off, so this week was short for me, but of course, okay. I'm just looking forward to wrapping up the week, too.
Girl, I had to remind myself, I was like, okay, it's Wednesday.
Halfway there.
Yeah, all halfway there. Girl, it has been, what, like, we talked, what, like, near the end of March?
Was it that long ago? That's crazy.
Right.
That feels like 3 years ago.
Right. It really feels like
I don't even remember what
years.
We talked about. I was hella high. So, just FYI.
I think it was a great conversation from what I do remember. So
I
can't
believe it was that long ago. That is so crazy.
Right. It literally feels like it's been years already. But one thing I definitely do remember is you were just starting your job.
Oh my God, yeah. I also think that I was definitely, like, growing, you know what I mean? Like, meaning, like, I was trying not to really grasp everything that was happening around me because I was like, I just need to focus on this new job. Like, that's it. So in some ways it was definitely a blessing, but I will say COVID-19, the quarantine, the racial reckoning that we're seeing, it has definitely amounted to a lot. I can't believe it's September next week, and it doesn't seem like there's any end.
I don't even want to hear that.
This is like really real. Like, so I think in the beginning, my kind of comfort was like, okay, I think I can do this for a couple of months. Like, I'm lucky enough, I have a good place to stay. You know, my job was flexible to work from home. But now I'm just like, okay, so are we just never gonna go back to normal? Like, so it's definitely gotten to me a little bit more than during that time.
Girl, I definitely hear that. Even you saying that, I'm thinking about how my job has already decided, like, all right, like, we'll see you guys in 2021. And it's like, all right, cool. Thanks. But even then, they're like, they're not even telling us when in the new year. So I'm just like, oh, crap. And then there's even been like the slight mention of like, how would you guys feel about your department being permanently remote? And I'm like,
Which is, to be honest with you, that's a blessing that they're at least recognizing that this is going to stretch for a lot longer than many of us want to admit. Because I've heard the opposite of some folks, and I certainly would not be happy if I was required to go into the office. So for us, we know we're going to stay remote for the rest of the year too. And we do have the office space available, and some people have taken advantage of it. I think especially my colleagues who have kids who are kind of like, okay, I need a little break. So they'll go to the office. I haven't done it just because, I'll be honest, I'm just kind of happy of working from home. But like, I have been thinking maybe I should just go in like once a week or something. But that's a total place of privilege to be able to choose.
Right, to have that option.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what I'm struggling with. Like, I'm super happy and grateful that I have this flexibility, but I'm still just as anxious about the future and just as anxious about what's going to happen to all of us. I hate to be dark, but like, that's what's just on my mind.
I don't even think that's dark. I think it's realistic, you know, because like you said, there are some people who are like thinking this is not going to last as long as it did. And look where we are, you know, and there are some people who are like, we're never going to get out of this. So I think just to be realistic at the fact that, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but at the same time, you know, we just have to kind of keep doing what we're doing. And of course, it does come from a great place of privilege to be able to work from home and go to the office, maybe if I have to, kind of a thing. But at the same time, I don't know, being realistic about it is a lot better than like putting your head in the sand and pretending it's not happening. Yeah. Right.
And then I'll also say I've had plenty of moments where I just don't read the news. I'm definitely someone who like, I'm recognizing I'm an absolute empath. I feel my energy shift if I get bad news. And like, there have been a couple of weeks where I was just like, I can't handle reading anything right now. Especially because I think with social media and just the 24-hour news cycle where everything is just breaking news all the time, I think it was definitely triggering my anxiety big time, especially in those months where we were just seeing, you know, police killings. I mean, nothing has really changed, unfortunately. Two people were killed just last night. But so I've been trying to also channel that and just be honest with myself if I'm not ready to receive news that I know is going to impact me. But it's just been a lot. This year has been hard. And again, I'm still speaking from a place of gratitude of like, I know my family is safe. I know I am safe. You know, I have a full-time employment, but it's still very, very hard to see just the pain that it's like a triple crisis. It's not just, you know, this healthcare pandemic. It's cops still shooting people, white people still shooting black people for no reason. And it's also the job loss that I know a lot of people have endured.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely correct. I agree with you with the whole social media and like the 24-hour news cycle and like feeling like you literally can't put the phone down. But it's like at the same time, right? Like, I know for myself, I'm like, okay, I want to put the phone down and like get away, but I'm like, oh my God, but I feel like I need to be, you know, part of the news cycle and making sure I keep myself educated and keep myself, you know, in the know. But at the same time, it's like, you got to put the phone down at some point or you are going to drive yourself crazy. You're not going to be useful to anybody if, you know, you're just on the phone all the time and heightening your anxiety and like just your mental functioning, you know, it's just not healthy. But I think recognizing that and knowing when to put the phone down and like how to get out of that vicious cycle of wanting to stay in the know all the time, is good too, you know, just being able to recognize it. That's super important.
Absolutely. And I also think that there are moments for us to step in. So I feel like, okay, if what can my contribution be today? Like sometimes it means me taking care of my body and my spirit. Like maybe that's my contribution as a woman of color, as a Black Latina.
Right.
Maybe that's my contribution for the day. And starting to just acknowledge that me taking care of myself is another revolutionary act. It doesn't always mean that I have to stand out and go to a protest. Obviously, I stand in solidarity with people who do that, and I certainly participate in plenty of moments. But you know, in this time around, I'll be honest, I couldn't take to the streets. I felt like I couldn't really physically and mentally even handle it.
No, I'm right there with you. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. It's a lot to take in. I feel like you either just keep going or you ignore it. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you though about, you know, not being able to like be in the streets and like protest and things like that. Like, I think it's different for everybody. And I feel like social media has a good way of making you feel bad if you don't, you know, fight for whatever it is that's going on, fight for whatever kind of justice for it in a certain way. You know, not everybody fights the same. There are people who do go march, who do go to protests. There are people who are more about doing their thing on social media and being able to, you know, educate people and, you know, put up links to where you can donate, how you can read up on things, stuff like that. So I think it's, you know, it's not fair to judge people of the way, you know, that they fight for different things, and kind of letting people have their own lane, their own way of doing what they think is right or how they think it's right, especially the world that we're in right now. I don't know. I feel like last thing I want to do is be judged for how I'm, you know, fighting for equality and justice and things like that.
I agree. And I also think that that's kind of crazy. Like, nobody can point at a Black and brown person and say, what are you doing for the cause? Like, at the end of the day, you just existing is a form of resistance. So if you're an artist and you're painting murals on behalf of Black Lives Matter, like, that's how you show up for that. If you're a fundraiser, you know, helping people and your neighbors donate and make donations to Black organizations, that's how you're showing up. And like I said, if you're someone who feels, you know what, I need to take care of my spirit and maybe I'm not checking in, that's okay too. Like, just the fact that you're existing is resistance. So now if it's somebody else, like, I think that they have a little bit more of a burden. And I think that's right. What we have to be honest. I think Toni Morrison, she has this interview where she talks about this, and she's like, racism is a white people problem. Like, white people should gather other white people and figure out what their problem is. And let us know when y'all are done, because we've been ready to support and love this country. This country would not be able to run without the contributions of Black and Brown people. What we're seeing tonight with these NBA players boycotting the playoff game, they had to cancel the rest of the games for the night. Like, that should just tell us what our power is. I could literally not show up for work tomorrow, and a whole department would stop. And I'm sure many of us here have that same power in other spaces. So I think it's more about, do we recognize that we have that power and that we can utilize it to our benefit in every moment? Because I think white people know that. I think white people know that we are very powerful. That's why they are so afraid of us.
Right.
So I think it's racism is a white people problem. We've inserted ourselves because we love this country and we love each other and we want to see all of us thriving and living together. But if we're being real, it's really white people who have to go and figure themselves out and leave us out of it, just like Toni Morrison said.
Yes, leave us out of it. Honestly, that's pretty much it. Just leave us out of it. I mean, at the end of the day, like, we're not the ones who decided, you know, that we're going to judge people based on the color of their skin. I mean, we're not the ones that decided to enslave people based on the way they look, you know, and thinking that they're less superior and all that. So yeah, you're right. It is a white people problem, and it is something that they should fix and have to fix. And it's like, just let us live. That's all we're asking for. You know, it's not too much to ask for. And the fact that people think that it's like we are less than, or that there is something wrong, just because, you know, there's a little more pigment here. It's mind-boggling to think about. And it's just like, I know we're also in the middle of a pandemic, so thanks. Like, you know, there's just so many layers to it. And it's like, why do we have to also fight for equality at the same time? Like, it's a lot, you know, to expect of Black and Brown people, when it's not something that we ever created or ever started.
Absolutely. But I'm really happy that you're finding a way to keep your art going. I've been thinking a lot about creatives and artists and what it might mean for them to be in this moment. And I'm happy to see the contribution, like, despite all of the pain and all of the chaos that 2020 has brought on all of us, I'm still really, really proud of the fact that we're still finding a way to find joy. We're still finding a way to show up. And that makes me really, really happy.
I'm right there with you. And in light of that, how have you been taking care of yourself? Like, what have you been doing for self-care? I know you said you took a couple of days off this week. Just if you want to share with us what you've been doing.
Absolutely. Or, you know,
what your version of
self-care that's an like. Ongoing journey for me. But I would say, I'm either all the way in with my self-care, where I'm like, my phone is on D&D, I'm not, you know what I mean, like I'm checking off, like, no emails, right. Like no social media weekend, or I'm all the way off where I'm not stopping. So I have to still figure out that balance. But I would say for self-care, because it's on my mind right now, I've been doing a lot of reading. I've always loved reading, so I'm actually right now, believe it or not, I'm reading 6 books, which sounds kind of insane, but it's like, if I get 30 minutes, I might pick up one, and then maybe in the night I finish with another book. And I'm not I'm not saying I'm reading like 200 pages a day. I'm probably reading like 10 pages out of like 4 or 5 books,
right.
But still. So reading is something that like really brings me joy, and I just love reading, and I love rereading books that have always meant a lot for me. So right now I'm reading All About Love by Bell Hooks. I'm also reading this new book that my roommate got me, which is called The Warmth of Other Suns, and it's Isabel Wilkerson, and it's talking about Black migration from the South to the North, and it's incredible and so good. And it's one of those books that you read like 5 pages and you got to put it down because it's like so deep. So reading has definitely been my go-to. I'll be honest, I smoke a lot of weed. Like, I definitely
as you should.
I'm self I'm self-medicating because I'm pretty positive I have anxiety, even though I've mm-hmm. never been diagnosed, but I've read enough about it that I'm pretty sure I have mm-hmm. it. So smoke, I do edibles, it makes me laugh, it makes me have wild ass dreams. So that's what I'll do. So cannabis is like absolutely part of my self-care. Something new that's occurred during quarantine. I wouldn't say new, but like I've been more into it is meditation. I've always loved meditating, but I think like before all of the chaos happened with COVID, I always had an excuse like I didn't have time. And I think now that I was like, I was forced to find a routine at home to balance work and just regular life, meditation has been a tool that I've been using to keep myself grounded, especially on those days when things feel like they're too much. So meditation has been awesome. There's this app that I use called Liberate, and it's actually meditations for Black and Indigenous.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
So it's literally meditations for Black and Indigenous people. They're all by people of color and Black people, which that's like the wave I've been on. Like, I literally don't want to support any fucking white establishment at all. And like, and they're relevant. Like, literally, like,
you're not alone on that.
Meditations on Black lives, meditations on your ancestors, meditations on healing ancestral trauma. Like, that's been my go-to tool on the days where I'm definitely feeling heavy. And I've actually noticed that even on the days where I'm feeling good and I stop to meditate for 10 minutes, I feel even better. So I think it started as like a mechanism on those heavy days, but I'm recognizing the more I do it, the better. I'm really in love right now. So that's another self-care.
So beautiful. I love it.
My friends who know me like would laugh because I've never been this savvy, but I'm really in love with this man. And I think that has also been a very, very beautiful thing to see blossom. It's really funny how the universe works. Like the whole world is literally like on fire, but this is when I found my person. So it's kind of funny like that. But
hey, the universe has, like you said, a funny way of making things work. I mean, how has it been dating in quarantine? Like, are you guys finding, like, new ways to do things? Are you able to, like, get out? I mean, the weather's still nice, so, you know, trying to enjoy that. But I know it's different for everybody, so.
Yeah, I think basically we've been doing whatever possible to, like, find little pockets of weekends. Like, I'll take a Monday off, which is what I did this past week, or we'll take Friday and Monday and extend the weekend. I'm someone who loves traveling, but I had already made peace with the fact that this was not a year where I felt it would be appropriate to travel. No judgment on anyone who feels differently. I just felt like
I'm still trying to make peace.
Yeah, I was just basically like, it's all good. I'm really grateful that I have plenty of experiences abroad, and I wouldn't even feel comfortable being on a plane right now. So with that being said, we've just found like nearby. So we spent a week in Vermont, which was amazing, and I totally recommend it. We went to the Cape this past weekend, and now I'm thinking about maybe we do like a weekend in Maine or something like that before the summer wraps up. So I'm just trying to find like little New England getaways. I'm still trying to live, and I ain't trying to get mine.
No, I completely agree. I feel like you just were in a cave all day long, you know, and it's like, can I leave the house? Like, is it safe to breathe? Like, and then the summer comes around. The summer's so fleeting in New England that it's like everything for the 3 months that we get, and then it's just like, but there's also a pandemic. So I think it's great that you guys are still, you know, you're getting outside, you're also getting your getaways, even though you're not like, you know, full-blown leaving, you know, the United States or getting on a plane or anything like that. But like, there's a lot to do around here, you know. There's a whole coast of things
to do. And actually, Vermont was one of those places where I had always driven by, last about 2 years, actually is it 2 years? Oh my god, that's crazy. 2 years ago I went to Montreal and I drove there and we passed through Vermont, but we never stopped. So I was like, how is it that I've always lived in Massachusetts? I've never been here. It's only like 3.5 hours. So that was nice. So it still felt like a new experience because I had literally never been there.
Right. Yeah. No, Vermont is beautiful. I went there a couple of years ago, I think. But I think also, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the time we're trying to get the hell out of Massachusetts because we're like, it's cold. It sucks here. Like, it's dark all the time. Like, I just want to go on the plane and get out. Right. And kind of forget that, you know, Vermont's right there. Maine's right there. You know, even New Hampshire, there's beautiful places in New Hampshire to visit and, you know, kind of just get away. So I think kind of I think in a way, COVID has kind of reminded us that, like, your own backyard is a great place to explore.
It's, like, made you appreciate your surroundings.
Which is nice because you can just get in the car and go. Exactly.
And then I've just been trying to just, like, also be at peace with, like, the fact that this is a different year. Like, I think some of that was, like, me not wanting to, like, I don't know, like, kind of break away from routine. So that's what I mean. Like, I literally did have to make peace with the fact that I was just not going to travel this year. And who knows? Like, maybe I'll change my mind, but I don't think so. One thing I did want to do in November, I wanted to do something for my birthday. I always like take a trip around my birthday. So I was like, damn, I might not do that this year. So I think, who knows, if I change my mind, I'm kind of spontaneous like that, but I think for the most part, I'm going to stay put.
No, I don't blame you. And it's also going to probably be like 10 degrees. So, you know, you just got to get creative or, you know, try to figure out a way to stay warm, but also enjoy your birthday, you know.
When's your birthday?
But on that note, and I guess on our last note, my birthday was actually in August. It was a couple weeks ago. So I'm like, oh, summer baby, it's nice outside.
I am. Y'all are the shit.
Oh, thanks. We're not too bad. You know, I know a lot of the other sides, but you know, whatever. They'll be all right. But yeah, so I know you mentioned your birthday and looking forward to that, or at least trying to look forward to that. Is there anything that you are looking forward to, you know, besides that and, you know, these very, very good times or, you know, things that, like, I don't know, maybe some people, it's like the holidays, they can't wait for that to come, or like the new year so we can leave 2020 behind, you know, kind of a thing.
I'm sorry, I'm the Grinch.
Last year, okay.
I convinced my family.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, last year I convinced my family for us not to do gifts. And it actually was probably the best Christmas, like, because I'm somebody who, like, definitely struggles with anxiety. Christmas always makes me feel like I never have enough to give to everybody that I want to give. I know that sounds, like, kind of ridiculous, but that's literally how I'll feel.
Right.
And then the whole rush of the stores and, like, getting everything, like, yo, I hate that. So I'm sorry, I actually hate Christmas.
No, I'm
my right favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, though. I do love Thanksgiving. Yeah, I just like to eat. I like my family. There's food. I like to drink.
Right.
Oh, and New Year's. I always love New Year's.
You know, all you gotta do is show
New Year's
eat,
is
so
my
it's
holiday
like...
too.
So, like, the actual day or,
like,
New Year's?
That's a good
Eve?
Point. I love New Year's Eve because it's, like, the excitement of, like, the New Year's Day. So, yeah, New Year's Eve, I guess. The last day of the year.
Well, hopefully this year we can actually, like, I don't even know if that's something to look forward to. But, you know, I mean, I guess it's if we want to leave 2020 behind, then yes.
And you know what? With everything I said here. this maybe we needed this year, like, we needed to slow down in order to see, like, how fucked up this country was.
No, we definitely did. Like, I think I remember I was listening to, like, one of my favorite podcasts, and they were like, well, why is everybody paying attention to, like, you know, all the police brutality and all the you know, racial injustice now? And they were like, because you literally can't do anything else.
You
were, you know,
forced
the world
to look at it,
and all you can do is pay attention to what is going on. Exactly. So I think in some ways 2020 is what we needed, you know, and it's, I mean, some good is going to come out of this. And I think we just have to kind of keep chugging along and hoping for the best, but also just trying to do our best. And some days that's literally just brushing your teeth. And if that's it, that's mm-hmm. it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What are you looking forward to for the rest of the year? You are not ready for me to flip it back on you, huh?
I'm ready. Like, is it over? No, because I'm like, what is there to look forward to?
Don't say that.
But no, I think as we get... See, I'm the Grinch in that aspect. But I think as we get into, like, the colder months and stuff like that, I think maybe being able to just slow down a little more. I think, like I said before, like, when summer comes around in New England, you just want to do all the things and, like, have fun and, like, enjoy the warm weather. So I think the things that kind of just come along with it getting colder. I mean, I hate the cold, but I do love, like, seeing the fall foliage. And
it's such, it's such a sham, though.
And, you know, like, Thanksgiving, you, the fall, you know, like,
and then the next day it's like negative 10. I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah, and then it's snowing, and I'm like, well, I actually would just like to fast forward to June. So, but no, I think maybe, yeah, just being able to, you know, just slow down a little bit, I guess, enjoy the holidays, enjoy the seasons changing and all that good stuff or whatever. Maybe take a trip or two, you know, up and down the coast. I'd love to go back to Vermont and, like, maybe take a trip to Maine, stuff like that, you know, explore my own backyard.
I love it. Well, keep me posted, and thank you so much for thinking of me. I really appreciate it. I love the podcast. I love what you're doing. I love that you're centering Black and Brown voices. We need more of that. So keep putting on for our city. I think it's important now more than ever that we take up space.
Thank you for being, you know, a voice for, you know, the Black and Brown people, especially in Boston, you know, where it's very minimal, you know, and it's taken quite a while for even myself to be like,
right, we gotta change, like, that, we gotta, you know, change,
but
that.
I see what he's doing on social media,
and
you know,
we are here to stay.
Exactly, you know, we're here. We're here, you know, so thank you for being one of those voices, and talking to us and, you know, letting us kind of pick away at your brain and hear about your self-care and your job and your love
thank
and all those
you.
Good things.
Keep me posted. I'm here to support you in any way I can.
Thank you. And as a side note for our listeners, Herms's phone dropped on her, but she's listening to us, and, you know, her mic's just not on, but she's heard everything, and, you know, I'm here as a co-host doing what
I
will.
You held it down.
But thank you, Bea. Thank you. I'm like, I'm improvising, but it's fine.
okay,
but yeah,
my
thanks
love.
So much
Have
for coming
good night.
Back.
Thank you again.
And hopefully we'll get to talk to you
Absolutely.
Soon.
Thank you.